Good morning. Please be seated. Good morning and welcome one and all to our service this morning. And we also welcome to all those listening online. We're happy to hear you with us this morning. I've only a couple of notices, and they are to say, please look at the notices at the back of the church. I don't know what you call it. The board standing there that's got notices pinned to it. So while you're having your tea and your coffee, have a look at those notices, please. I think Kathy wants to have a quick word. She's coming up.
Morning, everyone. Just to fill you in with a few details about Joan Campton, who sadly died last week. Her daughters have been able to arrange the funeral at Sellers on the 25th of June. And they would love people to come, you know, if you wish to do so. The service starts at about 11:30 for just coffees and teas, and commences for the funeral, which will actually take place at 12 p.m. Please would you let me know if you do intend to go, because they would like to make sure that they've got the right catering in for everyone, and that it doesn't want to anybody to be ignored or left out. But as I say, I don't know whether many of you do remember her, but she was, well, in her late 90s now, and hadn't been for a few years, but came religiously beforehand, and she was a dear friend of ours. Anyway, thank you.
Our service this morning is being led by the Reverend Keith Salter. We welcome you, Keith, and Joy, his wife. We look forward, Keith, to hearing you your words for us today. Thank you.
Very good morning to you all. It's a real joy and a pleasure to visit your church for the first time, and you can decide for yourselves whether it will be the last time. I am a retired Methodist minister. I haven't yet learnt what that word actually means, but nevertheless, it is a real joy to share with you today as we contemplate the Word of God and as we worship together. And we're going to begin that worship as we sing. And the hymn is, you're watching on the screen, isn't it? 640, which I think is on the screen, yes. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord.
Christ, how Lord, we give faith.
Now we pray together. Do we come before the Father with awe, with wonder? We thank you, God our Father, that we have access to you through your Son, Jesus. But we come to worship you, for you are the God of all things, maker of heaven and earth. You have put the stars, the sun, in their place. And as we look up into the night sky, we wonder at your awesome creation. You are mighty. You are great. You are all-powerful. And yet, you have a mind and a heart for your people. And so we can address you as Father, and we come to you as your children. We thank you that you are the God of perfect love, a love that sees no ending, a love without limit, and a love revealed perfectly in Jesus your Son. And so we come to worship you, Father. We come to worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to praise you, Jesus, that you were prepared to leave the kingdom of God in order to come to us in the kingdom of this world. You became human. And as human, you lived amongst us and revealed the depths of God's love. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you showed that love as you willingly hung on the cross of Calvary. Lord Jesus, we come in all humility and we look upon that cross and we look upon the dying form of Christ, because we know that as he hung there, he bore the penalty of our sin. You took upon yourself all of our guilt and all of our shame, and you took it. Lord Jesus Christ, you died on that cross. We thank you for that sacrifice and all that it means to us in our time. But we cannot look upon that cross without recognizing our own sinfulness. And we come and we confess. We confess that we have not given our lives completely to you, that we hold back something for ourselves. Forgive us. Forgive us when we choose to do our own thing and go our own way without walking in obedience to you. Forgive us. Father God, help us as we kneel before the cross to recognize our sin. Compare that to your holiness, and we are ashamed. And yet, Lord, by grace, you forgive us as we truly repent. Lord, give us that assurance that our sins are forgiven. Grant us the new hope of heaven, that one day we will see you face to face. But we want to thank you, Father God, that before you died, you promised to send the Holy Spirit, who would continue to inspire us and lead us, who will lead us back to the Father and give us the power to do it. So, Holy Spirit of God, lead us and guide us in our pilgrim way, that we may indeed reach our destination in Christ, the kingdom of heaven. So, Father God, we come to worship you. We come to worship you, God the Son. And we come to worship you, God, the Holy Spirit, three in one. Lead us and guide us as we continue to worship. Speak to our hearts, we pray, that as we leave this place, we will know that we have been in the presence of God. Hear our prayer. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We sing again. The hymn is 651, if you're following the book. The kingdom of God is justice and joy. We make our offering to God. To you, Lord, we offer these our gifts. They are but tokens of our commitment and our love for you. You have given us all in Christ. We offer just a portion of who we are. But as we stand, let us give our whole selves to you, that we may serve you in this community. Amen. Now I think Sue is coming to read for us.
The first reading is from Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 to 21. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they might have the right to the tree of life, and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And to anyone who takes the words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sue, very much indeed. We come to our next hymn. Make me a channel of your peace.
Thank you.
we turn again to our prayers. Let us pray. Father God, in the stillness of this moment, we come to you with hearts broken, day by day, we catch glimpses of the suffering across the world, of people being discarded, dispossessed, of people shunted from one place to another, of people suffering the effects of thirst and hunger. Lord God, we think today once again of the people of Israel and Palestine and Gaza in particular. Lord, we are horrified by what we see on our news bulletins. We hear stories of so much suffering with no let up, with little hope. Lord God, we are thinking about a nation which was called your own. We're thinking of the area known as the Holy Land. And yet we wonder just where that holiness has gone. We think too of the people of the Ukraine, how we have prayed for an end to the hostilities. Father God, we pray that the invasion will come to an end and that the people of Ukraine may live once again as an independent state, where people can live without fear. We pray for other war-torn places across the world, where people have been deprived of their liberty, when families have been broken apart, where children have been killed or left orphaned. Lord, our hearts break as we see these stories and the tears rolling down the faces of children. Lord, we ask for your intervention. We know that warfare is man-made, but we ask, Lord God, for mercy. Mercy for those who are suffering, for those who are having to leave their nations, their families, and flee, seeking for a better world, a better future. And we pray, Father God, that people in such torment who have to travel long distances to find their freedom may indeed find a place and a welcome, that they may be able to put down roots and begin to build hope once more. Yes, In our own country, Father, we have heard the devastation in Liverpool just a few days ago, when countless people have been injured physically, emotionally. Lord God, we don't understand why these things should happen. We don't understand what causes people, what motivates people to do such awful things. So we pray that you would be with the people of Liverpool as they mourn, as they come to terms with the tragedy. We pray for those who have been injured, for their families, that they might know the comfort that only you can give. And yet, Lord, we know that so many people are killed and maimed in road traffic accidents. And we ask, Father God, for all those who have to remember their lost loved ones, and ask that you would be with them in their sorrow and in their grief, that they too may be comforted. And we know, Father God, that we live in a world that has such difficult questions and fears. We pray for the world economic situation, where expensive tariffs are being imposed by America, causing uncertainty in world markets. And ask, Lord, that the leaders of nations would seek only the common good, recognizing that we are part of a world economy, not just a national economy, that one serves the other. So we pray, Father God, that common sense will prevail and that people will be able to trade freely so that others may benefit, so that our shared wealth may indeed be shared with all. And then, Father God, as we enter into Pride Month, we pray for the LGBTQ plus communities across our nations. We pray that we may indeed have a clear heart and mind, that we may rid ourselves of all prejudice against people that we don't understand, won't acknowledge. We pray, Father, that in our treatment of others, we may treat all people with dignity and grace, recognizing their worth and giving them the opportunity to be themselves without any form of hatred from us. Lord, we live in a hurting world, and our hearts break at the news we hear. Enter into this world once again. You came as the Prince of Peace. You came as light in darkness. Come into our darkness and bring the light of heaven, that we as your representatives on earth may indeed usher in the kingdom of heaven by our words and our example. These are our prayers, and we ask them in the name of Christ, our Saviour. Amen. Julie is coming to read for us.
The second reading is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them.
Thank you, Julie, very much. So we come to sing again the hymn, if you're following in the book, number 60. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love.
Thank you.
I expect that you've heard of Giles Brandreth, have you? I expect you've heard of Desmond Tutu. Back in the year 2001, Giles Brandreth was to interview Desmond Tutu. And as you know, Tutu had dedicated his life to bringing justice, peace, equality to the people of South Africa. There were a million questions going through Giles's mind that he wanted to ask Desmond Tutu, but the Archbishop had just been diagnosed with prostate cancer. And Brandreth realized that this interview might be the last one that Desmond Tutu would ever give. So he asked the Archbishop to choose the topic of conversation. What would Tutu choose to talk about? He had played a leading role in transforming the politics of his country. He'd worked with the most powerful leaders across the world. He'd won the Nobel Peace Prize. But you know, those topics weren't Desmond Tutu's priority at all. And he said, if this is going to be my last interview, I am glad we're not talking about politics. Let's talk about prayer and adoration, about faith, hope, and forgiveness. That great world leader wanted his final message to be about faith, his faith in God. If you knew that the prayers you offered up today would be your last, what would you pray for?
Tomorrow.
It's a good answer. Wouldn't you focus on your truest priorities, your heartfelt desires? That's what Jesus did. Our Bible passage this morning is about the last major prayer Jesus prayed before his arrest and crucifixion. He had just spent 3 years in intense ministry with his disciples. Thousands of people had heard his message, had seen his miracles. And by his coming death, he would save humanity from the power of sin and open the door of eternal life. What else could there be on Jesus' bucket list? This may surprise you, but what he prayed for was us, you and me. Listen as he begins that final prayer. My prayer is not for them alone, speaking of his disciples. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message. Now we need to hear that. He's praying first of all for his disciples, and then he's praying for those who will believe in him through their message. And that is us. Jesus' last prayer was for us. And I take great comfort in that. But why Why would Jesus pray for us? Well, surely one reason is that there is more work to be done to satisfy Jesus's agenda. And you and I are an integral part of that understanding. Macaulay Rivera had two great dreams in life. To marry his school sweetheart, Sharon, and to start a new church in the neighborhood in which he was brought up, a rather deprived area. And everyone knew Macaulay wanted to do this. They knew of his great passion. He had to reach folk in his community with the gospel of Christ. But very sadly, just before he finished his course, his university course, Macaulay and Sharon were killed in a road traffic accident. And at Macaulay's funeral service, the minister said, "Mac is gone." And then, quite dramatically, he asked, "Who will serve in his place?" And believe it or not, at that point, dozens of people stood up and committed themselves to spreading God's word in that neighborhood. Some years ago, I went to see a theater play. Towards the end of the first act, a major actor was taken ill on stage, and the curtain came down, and we thought, that was it. We might as well go home. The play couldn't go on without this major player. But within a few minutes, there was an announcement over the tannoy to say that the play would go on and that another actor, the understudy, would stand in. Well, you've heard that old adage, haven't you? The show must go on. And that's what being part of a team is all about. Ready to stand in when necessary. No matter what, the work goes on. And Christ's work, the beginning of the bringing in of the kingdom of God upon earth, depends in part on our readiness to stand in and to play our part. And that is true of being part of a team. It's also true in terms of individual acts of discipleship. Now I have a confession to make. And that is that I have spent 27 years of my life in prison. It's true. Though, of course, I was not a prisoner. I was the chaplain. And I remember that at one time I had this very strong impression that I should speak particularly to one of our prisoners. And I was a bit reluctant, because, and it bothered me, because this particular prisoner was very, very difficult. And whenever I attempted to speak to him, he ignored me. Didn't want to talk. Didn't want to know. And yet, deep down inside, I had this impression that I had to speak to him. He was the kind of prisoner that no other prisoner liked. He can be aggressive, he can be rude, he can be violent. And yet I just knew deep within my soul that I had to talk to him. And I prayed. And I prayed that the Lord would give me the opportunity to speak to this particular prisoner. Some days later, I found myself in a room alone with this one prisoner. And do you know, I just looked at him. And his bottom lip quivered. And I asked him, what's your problem? What's going on? And do you know, he just wept. He wept. Uncontrollably, he grabbed hold of me and held me as he wept. And when he composed himself, he was able to tell me what was going on, what was the cause of his anxiety. Prisoners have often anxious times, worrying about their families outside and not being able to do a thing about it. He shared with me his fear and his anxiety. And I was able to offer a measure of help, support, advice. And to cut a long story short, I actually prayed with him. Prompting of God led me to him. And as a result, he soon found a solution to his problem and normality resumed. We were the best of mates after that. Jesus shared the love and message of God with thousands of people while he walked this earth. But he left plenty of work for you and for me. Our prayers and our availability will decide how much of an impact we will have for the kingdom of God. Why was Christ's last prayer for his disciples and for us? Obviously, it was because there is more work to be done, and you and I are an integral part of that undertaking. A young man named Pat Durkin loved to surf. One day he was surfing, he was hit by a particularly savage wave which injured his spine and left him as a quadriplegic. But he never once lost his faith. Even though after the accident he had trouble understanding why God would allow him to endure the loss of his arms and legs, he realized that this was God's plan all along. He was put in touch with a project set up to support those injured and disabled by accident. And Pat Durkin discovered that his disability allowed him to earn the trust of those injured. They saw the They saw that he understood their suffering and their scars, and they listened to him when he told them about how God had given him strength. And Pat looks on this project as the place God has put him. And he said, "It's a God thing. I feel called." God allowed him to use his disability to his glory and for the service of others. What is it you feel called to because of your faith in Jesus Christ? You say, "I don't know of any calling. What am I qualified for?" And I've heard that said so many times in churches. "I'm not very good at anything." Here's what you need to understand. God does not call the qualified. he qualifies the called. In Jesus' final prayer, he says, in effect, if the believers just stay in relationship with me, like I stay in relationship with you, you will enable them to do my work. So we don't rely on our own talent, strength, or intellect to do God's will. It's God's power working in us that allows us to have an impact on the world. Composer Giacomo Puccini wrote a number of famous operas. In 1922, while working on his last opera, Turandot, or Turandot if you prefer, Puccini contracted cancer. And he told his students, if I don't live to finish Turandot, I want you to finish it for me. Can you imagine hearing these words from your maestro? If I can't finish my most important work, then I want you to finish it for me. And shortly afterwards, Puccini died, and his student studied his opera carefully, and it was posthumously completed by Franco Alfano in 1926. Now Arturo Toscanini, a student of Puccini, directed the world premiere of Turandot in Milan. When Toscanini reached the part of the opera where Puccini had to stop, he began to weep, and he put down his baton and announced to the silent auditorium, "Thus far the master wrote, but he died." And then he picked up the baton once again, and he smiled through his tears and said, "But his disciples finished his work." And of course, when Turandot ended, the audience broke into the thunderous applause. And that's the message, the gospel for today. There's more work to do to spread the message of Jesus across the world. Thus far the master wrote, but he died, and his disciples finished the work. That work has not yet finished, and we are his modern day disciples. We are his feet, his hands, his voice. It is for us to take up that role, to become, as it were, the understudy, and to continue the work of the gospel of grace. And I wonder whether you are ready to take it up, as indeed Christ prayed for us. So just remember that prayer of Jesus. I pray for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you and I are one. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe. Amen. So we come to our final hymn, the hymn, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You."
Sister, let me
Father God, you have called us to be one in Christ. And as one with you, enable us to continue sharing the ministry and work of Christ in our community. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with each one of us, now and forever. Amen.